my co-organizer, Brad Pino, who's, he just told me, he's the new silviculture professor at the University of Alberta.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about coarse-weighted debris in land reclamation in the oil sands in northern Alberta. So this is part of a larger research project we have sponsored by Canadian Natural, which is a big oil company that run a mine north of Fort McMurray. And it's looking at a variety of different reclamation techniques, different soil placement techniques, different woody debris applications, things like that, and looking at basically what the response in the plants, trees, and soil are. And so what I'm talking about today is just going to be some of the work we've done looking at the coarse woody debris applications. So just a quick overview of woody material and forest ecosystems. Basically, it's biological legacy of disturbance. Kind of look at that. That's a fire. Those are kind of the dead carcasses that's left after a fire. They're kind of the standing up afterwards. And after about 5 years, we're finding about half the trees have already blown over and makes walking through these forests quite unpleasant. But that fire was about 5 years ago, and you can see most of the trees have actually started blowing down. The aspen tends to snap off at about 10 feet up in the air and then fall down on the ground. There's lots of benefits of having this woody material in the ecosystems, whether it's a store of organic matter, microsites for plant establishment, a seed source, particularly if you have aerial seed banking species, habitat for little critters. That's my wildlife buddy told me that's the technical term too. Increases in microbial activity and can moderate some nutrient availability. So there's lots of beneficial reasons for having this coarse woody debris in our forest ecosystems. And now there's interest in these reclaimed sites to start incorporating it back into it. And these sites that they're constructing after they're done mining, how do they start incorporating this woody material back into the ecosystem? So that's really the goal of this project. So some of our initial questions we were looking at were just what's the impact of the woody debris on the plants, trees, and soil on these reclamation sites? What's the difference on different reclamation types? Is there a difference between the different cover soils that are being used? And then how much woody debris should be applied? These are all kind of just the basic first go-round of research questions that we're looking at here. So, briefly about the study design here. It's a site called Reclamation Area 1. It's a overburden dump, so it's basically as they're digging the mine pit, this is the hill that grows beside it of all of the overburden. It was established in 2011, it was finished in 2011 when the cover soils were placed on. And it's important to note this is really an operational trial. It's not a highly replicated experimental design. It's really an operational trial. So we had operational size treatments. So each of them are about 20 hectares each, which would be normal operational size. But we did have two different soil types and different debris treatments as well. But the two main reclamation soils being used here are peat mineral mix, which is peat and then the underlying mineral soil. As they're going through the mine advance, they're kind of clearing in front of the mine. They're going along and picking up all of the peat and the soil and the mineral soil below it, transporting that to the reclamation site, and then using that as a cover soil. The other type of reclamation soil is referred to as forest floor mineral mix, and it's an equivalent from an upland ecosystem. So it's the organic layers, the forest floor layer, and then the underlying A and B horizons, basically, that gets salvaged during the mine advance process and then gets moved as an upland soil onto our existing or onto the reclamation areas. So these soils are very, very, these reclamation soils are quite different from each other. The peat has much higher organic matter in it, whereas the forest floor material has a lot of seeds and things from the previous forest, so it has a lot higher biodiversity in terms of plant species richness and such after it gets placed. So those are two main reclamation soils we were looking at here. And then we also included some natural benchmarks. So at the time this site was being developed, there was a massive forest fire almost right beside it, about 2 kilometers down the road. So we used it, kind of took advantage of that and designed part of our study around that, is having this kind of temporally appropriate comparison. So looking at how our reclaimed ecosystems are developing compared to how the naturally disturbed ecosystems are developing. And we also have kind of a mature boreal forest there as well. And what I'm presenting here is our six-year measurements at year six, I guess. So coarse woody debris, this is kind of what it looks like. Those are meter by meter plots we had, just kind of our levels. So we had four levels of woody debris we're looking at, so none, low, moderate, and high. We used cover class to kind of distinguish them. It was the only thing that was kind of consistent that we could actually use to categorize our plots. But one of the things I wanted to point out is that woody debris isn't all the same. What we find in the natural sites is it tended to be full logs, like the trees just blow over and the whole tree is there in relatively intact or in various stages of decomposition. What we're seeing on the reclaimed sites, these are all mechanically placed pieces of wood, so they've been handled by big machinery, they've usually been driven over a bunch of times, and so the wood tends to be cracked and broken, and lots of it's more like a mulch than log. So it's a very different type of woody debris between the reclaimed and the natural site. So although we're kind of using the same categorization here, the quality of the woody material is different between the natural and the reclaimed sites. Okay, so now getting into some of the impacts. So I'll go through the impacts on plants, trees, and soil properties here, but the first thing we looked at with plants was just, is there any benefits to plant cover? And what we found is that there wasn't really an increase in plant cover by having the woody debris there, so it doesn't seem like it provided much in terms of extra microsites for plants to get established. But what it did do is it changed the composition of the species. In the open ground, what we found is it was the plant community was really dominated by invasive weedy species. So these are agricultural weeds that have just kind of become established in these mining areas. And when there was no woody debris, there was lots of these invasive non-native species. But as soon as there was any amount of woody debris, that was greatly reduced. The presence of these invasive species was greatly reduced, even with the low levels of woody debris. And then the beneficiary of that reduction in the invasive species was that the native forbs, which are the majority of the plant diversity in the boreal forest, but the native forbs are able to really take advantage of that increase in growing space. So as woody debris levels increased, so did the abundance of the native plant cover, or the native forb cover in particular. So there's kind of this trade-off with woody debris between the invasive species and the native species as you got more coarse woody debris on the site. So that was really a positive outcome of the woody debris applications, at least from the plant side. If you look at tree, focusing on trembling aspen regeneration mostly here, this is all natural regeneration. I wanted to look at was there differences between the woody debris levels in the reclaimed and the natural sites. And what we found is that on the natural sites, there was quite high regeneration. So 6 years after the fire, we still had 35,000 stems per hectare of aspen suckers. So these are root suckers, not seedlings. And then when we got to the high level, that's the yellow bar there. At the high levels, the aspen sucker density was greatly reduced, but it was still over 10,000 stems per hectare. I think there just wasn't enough room. Our high level of coarse woody debris was over 70% cover of woody debris. So that's really high levels, and they're still able to get 10,000 stems per hectare of suckers coming in, which is pretty amazing, actually. The other side of it was on our reclamation sites, is there wasn't really any impact of any of the coarse woody debris levels. There were still trees on all of them in kind of similar amounts. And one of the things that's important to remember here is these are aspen seedlings. So aspen has a really tiny seed. It's windblown seed, and it's pretty much everywhere in the landscape if there's aspen trees around. So it's really able to search out and find the best microsites. So as long as there's microsites there and the plants get water in the early parts of when they're establishing, they're able to establish on these on these reclamation sites. And what we found is that there was differences in the amount of seedlings establishing by soil types, but not by the coarse-rooted debris levels. So what we found is that the peat, which has really high water-holding capacity, had a lot higher tree establishment rates than the forest floor soils, which had lower water-holding capacity. The other thing that we found is after about year three, we started seeing black spruce seedlings coming in our reclamation sites, and they were all coming in from this aerial seed bank. So black spruce has their cones are their semi-serotinous cones, and they take a while after disturbance to kind of open up. But what we saw is after 3 years, we got a bunch of these little black spruce seedlings coming in and just kind of adding to the tree density and tree diversity on these sites, which was kind of an unexpected bonus of using that woody debris. The other thing we looked at was growth rates, but there really wasn't any difference in the growth rates between the different woody debris levels. So, moving on to the soil parts here. It start with nutrient availability, and we used PRS probes, kind of looking at the soil solution, nutrient bioavailability. And what we found is that there's big differences between the different soil types in the amount of nutrients available, but no differences between the woody debris treatment levels. So this is an example here for nitrogen. We've had much higher levels in the fire site than we did in the reclaim sites, but again, there was no difference between any of the different woody debris levels. So what this doesn't tell us is kind of this is a relatively short term. We're talking after 6 years. Would there be differences in the future? We don't really know at this point, but it's there doesn't seem to be any big immediate impacts on many of these soil properties. And the same, this I'm showing nitrogen here, but the same went for phosphorus, potassium, and a bunch of other nutrients as well. There's big soil differences, but not differences due to the woody debris treatments. Some of the soil physical properties, so soil temperature, there was, the reclamation areas tend to be really open, quite windy, quite dry places, quite exposed environments. And we did see a decrease in soil temperature with the woody debris. I think it's basically just a shading effect. But we didn't see that in the fire, which still has more of an overstory cover on them, even after the fire, the standing trees, or the regenerating canopy. So we did see a different soil temperature on the reclamation site, and we were kind of thinking we would see something similar coming in with the soil moisture, but we saw no differences in soil moisture with any of the woody debris treatments here. So the microbial function. So we also did some incubation, some lab incubations afterwards, and what we saw is that the woody debris impacted mineralization rates in the reclaimed but not the natural forest. So in the reclaimed soils, we found increased mineralization with woody debris cover. But we didn't see any response like that from the natural forest. It seemed to be going along at about the same rates regardless of if there's woody debris on the site or not. We also did some multi-substrate respiration test, and we looked at what we found is that there was really big differences in the kind of the functional profile of the microbial community based on the soil types. So that's what the bottom ordination figure there. So big differences between the soil types, and actually the peat soil was all over the place because it was it didn't really group together at all. It was highly variable. But the other three main soil types, they were pretty distinct and they didn't really overlap much between each other. So there's big differences based on the soil, but really no differences in the microbial community based on any of the woody debris treatments. And that's kind of a general theme of what we're finding here, is big differences due to the soil types, but really not a whole bunch of obvious differences beyond the plant community based on the woody debris treatments. So what we found is that a little bit of woody debris is probably very good for these ecosystems, but it's not going to change a bad reclamation site into a good reclamation site. There are pretty subtle changes, pretty subtle differences, and we're also looking at short-term effects here. And really, for thinking about the boreal forest, these forests will take 50, 80, 100 years to grow, so really we need to start looking at that might be when we're, the impact of these treatments are really going to be noticeable is in a much longer time frame than what we're able to study here. And I guess the other thing is that this is kind of a one example study. There's lots of different ways we can apply woody debris, different species, different treatments different ways of applying the material, I guess, is the next thing we need to start looking at. But with that, I think I'm out of time. One more minute, all right. So the overburn, so the mining process is the first pit that gets dug, usually results in a big overburn dump beside it, and then as the mine moves forward, they'll fill in the previous mine. So at the end of the mining, it's a relatively flat landscape, at the end of the mine you'll have a big hill over here and a big hole over here, which they're just not going to bother filling in. So that's the end pit lake and our initial overburn dump. That's kind of the standard for these open pit mines in the area. Yeah, so all of these mines have this big initial overburden dump. The other thing is they also have a lot of tailings material to fill back in the pits with as well.
So you can use what you learned here to apply to the successive places that they mine, if they mine
them. Yeah, that's the plan. This is our first study here, but the hope is we'll be able to continue this site, go back at kind of year 10, and then we've started looking at some of the other reclamation sites as well, yeah.